Hello and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast with me, your host, Freddie Hall. Welcome back, Sky and Adam as well. It has been a small sabbatical. We've only really had two, three weeks off since the Super Bowl, and we roll straight into the 2024 offseason. Officially, free agency starts, I think, on my birthday next week, Wednesday, 13th of March. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Very good. Well, you know, what more can I ask as a birthday boy on that day than free agency starting? Hopefully it goes crazy straight away. But we've got lots of little things before that to happen, some action that's happened already and some stuff to look forward to, hopefully, in free agency. So we obviously are going to kick off with what is probably the biggest news that's happened and not news that we didn't think would break, I suppose, in this period. And that is Russell Wilson has been released by the Denver Broncos, the quarterback. Was traded by the Seattle Seahawks back in 2022, I believe, if memory serves. Signed a five-year deal and an extension at that point of $242 million as well. It has been a turbulent time for Russell Wilson, Sky. I mean, a player for me that was my favourite non-Steeler player. How much of a miss has this been for the Denver Broncos with this trade? I mean, now in hindsight, it looks really poor, right?
Yeah, I know there's often recency bias in all sports, but I could probably agree with people saying that's probably the worst trade in NFL history, right? With what was given up for him. And I don't think that's any knock on Wilson himself. He had some good moments last year, but it just didn't work out for multiple reasons. But I still think he's viable enough to go and fit in the right team. And I think that might be your birthday present, Freddie. I think he might be in black and gold or black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Well, hopefully we'll get onto that in a moment about where he may go. But Adam, for 2 years in Denver, he's 11-9, 6,594 yards, 42 touchdowns, but 19 picks as well. It's just not worked out. I mean, he started off with the Jets offense called Nathaniel Hackett there. And then it went on to onto Sean Payton. That was the big surprise issue. And we all thought that having Sean Payton in the building would turn around Russell's career, I suppose. But it's just not worked out, has it?
No, it's been a pretty mental couple of years, really. From the first moment he's walked through the door, it's just not really happened. As you say, Hackett coming in was a pretty bad move. Not someone who, you know, Packers fan, obviously, spent time with him being the OC there. He was never really much of a play caller. He was more of a sort of like a motivator for the offense. And I don't really know if he was much of that either, to be honest. So that was a bit of a strange one. But yeah, I mean, it didn't really work with him. Sean Payton coming in, a lot of talk over in the last sort of like few weeks leading up to this, thinking he was going to go, that there's been things that have come out with them saying that they actually felt like Payton was actually trying to antagonize him to try and get a reaction on the sidelines during the games, because there was a clause in the contract that if he came out and he did anything that was sort of like the team thought was basically not in keeping with a person who they employed, then they would be able to get rid of him. So it seemed like there was a lot of things going on there. And just a really strange whole 2 years with him. As Sky said, I think he's more than capable of doing a job in the NFL. There's, when you think of some of them, you know, quarterbacks that played at the back end of last year, there's some real rough quarterbacks in the league, and Russell Wilson did pretty well. So I think he's going to be more than capable of doing a job, and it's just going to be a matter of where does he go.
Where he goes is a question we'll definitely cover in a moment. Sky, one of the big things that, well, we sort of briefly said then is that Sean Payton was sort of trying to push him out, that really, in this last 2 years, it's all been about Russell having a bit of an ego and being actually difficult. And yet that was never the narrative that ever came out from Seattle. I think, was that maybe because the focus was always on how good Seattle's defenses were and sort of let Russ just do what he did? Or do you think he felt maybe in Seattle for the whole time that he was really underappreciated and thought, well, I'm not going to let this happen again at another franchise. You know, I want to be the face of a franchise. And Denver at the time, I mean, there may have been other teams going in to try to trade for him as well, but it was the one that Seattle accepted. I don't know whether he had much of a say in that, in the end of all that. And also, really, when he went to Denver as well, everyone was quite shocked because everyone was really, really of the view that Denver were going to go and trade for Aaron Rodgers. They brought him back. It all seemed so teed up for that. Do you think the personality has sort of changed with Russell?
I don't know. I kind of feel like with the Sean Payton stuff that Adam said, like trying to antagonize him and et cetera, there was the Wilson interview where he was talking about this injury clause and they wanted him to take the clause out. And then all week they weren't telling him he's going to play. And then on a Monday, they're like, you're going to play. And when I watched that, I almost like genuinely believed him because like you said, in Seattle, he was a good guy. And I know they won their Super Bowl with, you know, Legion of Boom and it was defense heavy, but people forget that there were seasons where Wilson was accounting for pretty much all of the rushing yards and doing pretty much everything on offense, you know, passing wise as well, being the quarterback. And I never really got the complete vibe that he was a bad personality. If anything, I guess I'm kind of, sounds like a conspiracy, almost is like a propaganda that maybe the Denver were trying to put that into the media and say, you know, this guy's not the right fit for us. But I think which wasn't the right fit was just his style of play. I think they were looking for a guy. I know obviously he's 35 now, but I think they maybe tried to morph him into a pocket passer too soon. Maybe they thought they had more coming out of Cortland Sutton and Judy. Obviously, Jonte Williams had his own injury problems. I just think there's a lot of moving factors which didn't match up. And I'm sure this time last year, including myself, we all thought maybe Sean Payton's the guy to turn it around. But really, with his time at the Saints, we know he likes to do things his way. And it's clear now with that dead cap hit that they're taking, he just wants his own guy and it's probably best for both parties that they're moving on.
I can't get the figure up for how much dead cap it actually is. For some reason, I can't find it. I don't know why. You thought it would be everywhere, wouldn't you? But I know now that they're taking a lot of the cap hit, but whatever team he goes to doesn't actually have to pay him that much, do they, from what I've read and reported, Adam? Am I right on that? I'm a little unsure of the figures. I think it's only under a mil, but I could be wrong.
Basically, if a team takes him on, then they can just pay the $1.21 million minimum salary. If they want to, obviously, he might negotiate something different with the team. But this year he's got $39 million owed to him from the Broncos. Anything over the $1.21 million gets deducted from the $39 million, basically. So that's how it kind of works out. Chances are he's probably going to be quite happy to stick it to the Broncos, I would have thought. So I could see that he does like a $1.21 million minimum salary, has a not a massive, but quite a reasonably sized signing bonus. And then the numbers kick in later on in probably if he can get himself like a 3-year deal or something like that. That kind of feels like how it's going to go. Dave, I think it's $39 million this year. It's then, I think it's 46 the next year, because it works out to 85, I believe, that they are going to pay over the next 2 years to basically for him not to turn up to work. Which, you know,
to work for somewhere else, actually.
if my company wants to do that, then I'd be more than happy to. But yeah, it's pretty mental when you look at it that way. And to be honest, with a mixture of this, the trade, and Nathaniel Hackett, it's amazing that the GM, George Payton, has still got a job. It really is. But, you know, somehow he's managed to hold on to it, and we'll have to see what they do once he's gone and when they get their new quarterback in.
Well, we'll start with Russell Wilson going forward first and then talk about Denver going forward, I suppose. So Sky sort of alluded to earlier that maybe it's the black and yellow Pittsburgh Steelers he goes to. The only teams we can pretty much guarantee he's not going to, a lot of them because of quarterback, but because of cap, the 49ers, the Ravens, the Cowboys, the Broncos, unsurprisingly, the Saints, the Dolphins, Chargers and Bills are all in the red at the minute. The Chiefs are the first ones in the black with $3.5 million on their cap. And then obviously everyone else is after that, I suppose. Where do you think he's going to go, Sky? And also, do you think he's going to start, or do you think he may back up? He'd be maybe willing to back up somewhere.
I think he has to start, doesn't he? I mean, I don't mean that he can demand it, but I mean, like Adam hit the nail on the head. There was a lot of almost a weird amount of high injuries, important injuries at quarterback last year. And we saw that some of the teams just weren't capable backup wise. So he can demand, I think, in the right team to go in and play. And I think your Steelers are one because probably only a quarterback away from, you know, being a decent contender in the AFC. And I think the culture in Pittsburgh suits the old Seattle style, you know, strong defense, wants to play run game, can get him going to play action again. The only other fit I see outside of the Steelers is the Falcons. But then again, I feel like every quarterback's linked there. I know Fields seems like he's going to be the guy, but, you know, they're sort of playing their cards close to their chest, haven't they? I think the GM's come out and the coach have both said anything could happen there. They've alluded to free agency, but maybe I think that's just smoke and mirrors covering for that Fields trade. So on paper, I think it looks like the Steelers are a shoo-in, and hopefully those reports where they were saying you're going to stick with either pick are not true for your own sake.
If my own sanity, that wouldn't be bad. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the Falcons, Adam, are looking like they're trying to eye up a trade. I mean, the other people that you could think about is maybe, I don't know, the Buccaneers, the Vikings, but would you get rid of Kirk Cousins then just getting Russell Wilson? I mean, there's a lot of teams, obviously, are going to trade.
I'd take him. I didn't even say that. I'd take him to the Patriots.
New England Patriots, even though...
Draft Marvin Harrison. I would draft Marvin Harrison and take Russell Wilson, take a veteran.
So, I feel like the Patriots is an obvious choice. I feel like they've got a shed load of money, like a ridiculous amount of cap space. I think they're like second overall.
They're second with 88 million.
Yeah, so they've got a ton of money now. That, and they've got a lot of holes as well. That's the other thing. So it does feel like he would be an obvious one that you could bring in really low cap here because of the salary. You've got your quarterback. You can then use that money effectively to build around him. You know, and it just kind of feels like that is a really obvious thing. I don't feel like it's... you know, it's like the weather's not an issue. You know, he's been used to playing in crap weather in Seattle and Denver, and now obviously, you know, if it was New England, then it wouldn't be much different. I think that they do have the number three pick. I know that there are three top quarterbacks coming out. That's kind of the way that it's being portrayed at the moment. I just think that they would be better off with all them holes to trade back. And just trade back, take more picks. It's not going to be something that you can fix in 1 year and just kind of like do it in that way. Now, historically, that's not something that they would do. But historically, they had Bill Belichick running it. So he's not there. Now, I know that Mayo is part of the organization as well, but, you know, it does make it a little bit different. So we don't exactly know what the Patriots are going to do. So it just kind of feels like all of that thrown in together sort of feels like an obvious thing. They don't have to trade back. Like you say, they could take Marvin Harrison. Then they've got their wide receiver and their quarterback as well. So it really depends how they want to play it and what they can do. But it kind of makes sense to me. I don't think the Falcons are really going to be going there. It seems like it's very much going to be Fields, or if they can get him Kirk Cousins, that seems to be the one that they probably really want. The Bucks, it all kind of seems to be going towards Baker, doesn't it? You know, bringing Mike Evans back and all of that, it feels very much like that's the way they want to go. So I feel like the Patriots is one. I know the Giants is one that's been spoken about, that he could go to the Giants, but then I would have thought the Giants would be a really good trade candidate for the Patriots. So there's a few teams that it could happen, but to me the Patriots seem like a good one. And I do agree that I think the Steelers as well would be a decent place for him to go, because you've got the defense and you're ready. All you need is the quarterback.
Yeah, that would be my argument for is getting him in, is that,
yeah,
a lot of people think, due to our record and our playing style that's happened the last few years, is that we're not a good team, but we are a good team. We are just a bit more of a quarterback away. I would say our offensive line isn't the strongest. It can only get stronger. We've got some young guys and we've got the picks to be able to do that as well. And actually, it's been proven that Russ sort of plays better with a bad offensive line. He had a bad offensive line for pretty much the whole time he was in Seattle, and he carved out a pretty fantastic career there. He's got sort of very similar style of receivers as well in Pittsburgh that he did in Seattle. You know, you've got Deontay Johnson's a bit like is sort of a Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett with George Pickens as well. That sort of similarity, I suppose. He's got a better tight end than he ever really had in Seattle, apart from Jimmy Graham for a very brief time. I would love to see him come. I think it's very likely. I think it's more so likely than the Patriots do. But then, like you said, with Jared Mayo now taking over the reins, we are ushering in a new era with the New England Patriots. But I would argue that they could usher in a new era with a young quarterback that they can have for the foreseeable future and then surround him with weapons a little bit like Brock Purdy's done, really. They could save the money on the quarterback. But then they would save the money on the quarterback as well with Russell Wilson. So it's whether you want to go young and for the future or have someone for the immediate now, I suppose. Now, I think the Patriots would prefer to plan for the future, whereas the Steelers really, I think, we're here and now at the minute. Tomlin's probably looking at it that he's maybe not got that many years left in the tank to stay there. But it's a loyal organization. Maybe he's going to be there for a long time. And I do think when you said about the... one of you said about the ethos of the team, I suppose, and the personality of the organization. Yeah. He suits very much the Steelers, whereas I don't think he does overly suit the Patriots in a way. It's gonna be a really interesting time. I thought it might be really quick that this happens. I suppose it's still got to wait till free agency and then see where the lay of land is with all the teams, I suppose. Let's move on to what has happened in the last few days in terms of the franchise tagging. Obviously, you know, name maybe was stolen from that term. The tag has been used on a few players already. Josh Allen at the Jacksonville Jaguars, he has been tagged. Brian Burns at the Panthers, Kyle Duggar at the Patriots, T. Higgins at the Bengals, Jalen Johnson at Chicago, Justin Madubuike at the Baltimore Ravens, and Michael Pittman at the Colts, and Jerry Sneed, the corner of the Kansas City Chiefs, and Antoine Winfield. The players who are not being tagged and have been told they are free to go and find wherever they want more money or play wherever they want does not necessarily mean they wouldn't come back to the team, I suppose. People, I think, always assume that when they reject the tag, that means that they're not going to go back. They still could. And that's Saquon Barkley, Xavier McKinney, both formerly the New York Giants now, and Christian Wilkins and the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, Wilkins, a big fan favorite here for his appearance on the English coverage for a lot of the NFL over here, and is plays both sides of the ball as well. I suppose, where do you want to start with? I suppose we'll start with the people who have been tagged, and maybe unsurprising that the edge rushers have all been sort of snapped up, Josh Allen and Brian Burns. I mean, teams now know how important that position is, Sky, don't they? And Josh Allen, a player that me and you have met, and frankly, a really good dude, and a player that has really proved it, I think, over the last few years, even though he came out of a shaky start.
Yeah, Josh Allen. I was thinking about, do you know what? I paused for a second. I was thinking about, do you hear that the Patriots actually use the transition tag? Maybe it's like the cousin of the franchise tag. It's just like a different, it means it's different, like compensation. And if a team meets a deal, then we basically can match that offer. So I think Mayo's trying to do his best Belichick impression. So I was trying to wrap my head around that when that news came out. Something that's not used often. But yeah, with the guys who have been franchise tagged, I mean, Josh Allen is the interesting one because, obviously, like you said, the Jags have a big following in the UK and probably shouldn't say this, but after meeting him and seeing how determined he is to win, I kind of like to see him go elsewhere. I feel like he could make a big impact on another team. But I feel like that with most free agents. Obviously, there are some interesting ones, but yeah, I think Josh Allen's probably going to be one of the standout guys. Be interested to see where Burns goes. Obviously, the Panthers were so bad last season. Someone like Michael Pittman, he's someone I probably would expect to re-sign with the Colts. And then I guess the bigger one that we spoke about in our group chat was Sneed. I reckon he will stay at the Chiefs, but if he goes to any of the other AFC teams who are contending, could be the difference maker, because I think that conference next season is looking like, you know, a star corner could make a big difference. So again, I'd like to see him go elsewhere because it would decrease the Chiefs' chances of repeating.
Thank you for everyone who's viewing the video tonight. We've got a fair few people on X / Twitter watching this evening, which is really nice. Make sure you do on the have a little comment about Russell Wilson, your opinions on them. Adam, I don't mean to sort of interject with, but I feel like maybe some people might not know what the franchise tag is, and we've got, you know, a fair few people watching tonight. Obviously, it's not just a fantastic British NFL podcast. So basically, the franchise tag is a designation a team may apply to a player scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent. The tag binds the player to the team for 1 year if certain conditions are met. Each team has one franchise tag, either exclusive or non-exclusive, one transition tag per year. Most seasons, transition tag can only be used if a team does not use a franchise tag. And basically, they then are paid the league average, which tends to be a bit of a higher rate than maybe some of them. But then it tends to be used on players who that are going to probably work out to having quite a large contract. And it's sort of a buffering period for teams to decide how much they're going to pay, a negotiation with that as well. And to see if they can really hash it out, I suppose. But Adam, we'll move back to with the actual players themselves. So we'll look at the wide receivers, I suppose. We've got T. Higgins of the Cincinnati Bengals and Michael Pittman of the Indianapolis Colts who have been tagged there. Both receivers who I've always been a little bit more out on Michael Pittman than other people, admittedly. And also, I hate to admit, but I do think T. Higgins is probably the best number two wide receiver in the league at the minute. No one springs to mind for me at the moment. Do you think both of these have got a chance of getting a big contract, maybe less so T. Higgins due to the Jamar Chase factor?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely Pittman has got a very good chance of getting a contract. I think it kind of makes sense for the Colts to keep him. They haven't, when you look at the wide receiver position, they've got Josh Downs there. You probably feel like they might dip into the wide receiver position at the draft, but there's not really anything else. So it kind of feels like Pittman's an obvious one to go for. He's been okay, hasn't he? He's never been amazing, but I think last year he kind of proved his worth for them. And so I think because of that, it sort of makes sense that they'd want to keep him. T. Higgins is a difficult one. As you say, the Jamar Chase contract is going to be coming up pretty soon. That's what makes it hard to really work out if they can go on a long-term contract with him or not. You know, obviously, they're going to want to have other players. They haven't, I don't think they've got anyone else that's, they would be probably really desperate to sign up to a really long-term deal, but they are kind of like, the Chase one is going to take up a lot of cap space. So yeah, it is a tough one, but I do kind of feel like if they feel like there isn't a better option out there, and it kind of feels like that's what they've done to a certain extent, which is a little surprising this year, because there's a lot of wide receivers coming out this year that are looking decent. So in that respect, it's a little bit of a surprise, but I think they've just probably gone down the fact of, you know, we want to keep him. He's got a connection with Burrow. We're just going to keep that rolling, and hopefully that will work out for us. But I think Pittman's the one who's got more chance.
Well, when you look at the stats, and thank you, over 100 people now watching this evening. Thank you. I really appreciate that on X. Higgins has not really ever done a full season. He's got a bit of an injury problem, doesn't he? He started 11, he played 12 games, 656 yards, 5 touchdowns last year. And then you look at Michael Pittman's numbers, admittedly Pittman being wide receiver number one for the Colts. Oh, my bad. I was looking at the wrong thing for it. Oh, that is the wrong Michael Pittman. That's why I'm looking at this, the stats. I was thinking he's definitely not a running back for one. But it turns out that he was born in 1975. So I'm looking at the complete wrong Michael Pittman. I'm looking at the one that had a career from 1998 to 2008. Here is our Indianapolis Colts wide receiver who played 16 games last year, 1,152 yards, only 4 touchdowns, though touchdown production wasn't there so much, Sky. Do you think even if these guys do sort of get on the market, there is going to be a big people are going to lust after these players? Do you think they get snapped up quite quickly? considering yeah. the draft that's coming up is pretty loaded wide receivers.
I think so. I think it just depends on the rapport they have with, I guess, as much as I said, I think Pittman will stay. Obviously, Richardson went down. And then maybe the Colts think, oh, well, we haven't seen really, have we seen enough out of Anthony Richardson and Pittman? Does that play into the factors there? Whereas with Higgins, we've seen how productive he can be with Joe Burrow. I think the Bengals will keep him simply because their needs are offensive line and a tight end. All of their tight ends are free agents. I've seen a lot of mock drafts. They're looking to take a tight end potentially second, third round and bolster up the O-line in the first. So I would expect Higgins to stay on the Bengals. But, you know, if for some reason, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw Matthew Judon was on Good Morning Football trying to play GM for the Patriots. He basically was saying, I don't think he said Higgins this time. He's basically been saying Calvin Ridley, Josh Jacobs come over. He's tweeted at Higgins. So there will be suitors if he doesn't get snapped up, because as much as this draft class is loaded, I don't think there's many things better than having a proven wide receiver signed as a free agent, because the shelf life of a running back, as we know, a lot shorter than, say, a receiver. So if you get a premier player at that position, that's great. And I think that's why a lot of people will be disappointed that someone like Mike Evans signed his new deal. Like, I thought he might have gone elsewhere, but the fact that he's still playing at the level he is at 31 is impressive. So, yeah, I think they'll have plenty of suitors if they do go elsewhere.
I remember our good friend Will Varney, who's part of TalkSport, was very convinced that the Jets were going to trade for him. Yeah, he was very convinced that season.
Definitely wishful thinking.
Sorry? Adam, it's a shame, obviously, that Andrew isn't here tonight, being the Giants fan he is, but losing two of premium players for the New York Giants, and Saquon Barkley running back, and on the other side, the ball, Xavier McKinney at safety, who I've really, really enjoyed him since he came out of the draft. It seems like trouble sometimes there, doesn't it? I mean, there's been some crazy things. Daniel Jones has got a huge contract over there. I know they can null and void it next season, but then can't retain two of your premium players. I know Barkley's had his injury history. McKinney, I don't think, has been that fortunate with his injuries either. I mean, it's a turbulent time for the New York Giants, eh?
Yeah, it's been a strange sort of last few years where they've kind of made decisions that you just sort of feel they shouldn't be making. A lot of it came under Dave Gettleman when he was the general manager there. Last year, obviously, tagging Barkley and giving Jones the contract was, I think, arguably the wrong way of doing it. And I think a lot of people probably would say that it should have been the other way around. But there was I know there were some Giants fans, and I think Andrew was kind of very much on the side of thinking that Jones could do something, that he had injuries and that was the problem. So by giving him a chance,
you don't need to smile that much, Sky. Jeez, you about fell out of your jumper.
Told you him and Darren Waller would be useless. I've got 6 pounds in the same drum. It's all come to fruition.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's kind of gone that way. Barkley, obviously, I mean, they're not going to be able to use the money that they have to bring him back, even without tagging him. So someone's going to throw a load of money at him. Probably the Texans would make sense. It's a shame because I feel like Barkley has kind of been the face of that franchise for a few years now, and it's just kind of petered out into nothing, really. And so that's a bit of a shame for him. McKinney as well, great, really good safety. You know, Packers need a safety, so, you know, we'll have him. but, yeah, it's, again, it's an important player that's gone, and there are guys that they can get. I mean, there's plenty of running backs in this draft. There's a lot of negativity around them because there's not a Bijan Robinson, but there are some genuinely good running backs in this class that are going to be able to play in this league and do well. Safety, not quite so many. But yeah, it's... I'm not quite sure what's going on there. The owner loves Daniel Jones. It's not really worked, is it? Yeah, it's a little bit like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, the only man in New Jersey who loves Daniel Jones. The owner. They have got 38 million, 38,288 to play with. So you don't think there's any chance for either of these guys do get re-signed back to New York?
I think probably out of the two, I think McKinney might. I don't see them throwing enough money at the running back position to get Barkley back when there are other teams in better positions with more money to do it, that need to as well. That's the other thing. So that's the problem. I don't see them that happening. But yeah, I mean, McKinney possibly, that you could argue that they could do that. But I mean, the problem is like 38 million is a lot. But it's, I mean, obviously you've got to take the rookies off of it as well. So you're probably looking at about 30. You know, when you look at everyone else and you look at these other teams that have got like, you know, 80, 70 million, all of a sudden it's very difficult to compete, and you need to sort of like get the right players in the right spots. It's really going to depend on what their sort of mindset is. I mean, Dable's been there for a year, hasn't he? Is it a year or two? Yeah. So you'd think that they would want something to happen, because if not, he's going to suddenly be on the hot seat as well if it doesn't happen again. And yeah, you feel like they need to do something. I don't quite know. They're in a bit of a predicament, I think.
Well, we'll move on from the franchise tag guys and look at, well, I've got it up, so I just saw it pop up on NFL.com, but it's the 100, we're not going to go through all these, obviously, 101 NFL free agents for 2024. That would be a film of a podcast, I suppose. But what we could talk about the top 10, but there's one or two in the top 10 that we've talked already about, I suppose, so we can skate over them and just go to the next one. But number one is Chris Jones, Sky, 30 years old, defensive tackle, obviously formerly the Kansas City Chiefs, big time Super Bowl winner with the Chiefs, has been the linchpin for the Chiefs in that defensive line. They've only got $3.5 million on of cap. He's not going to be able to return. I think he's going to be looking for too much money, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And it kind of reminds me, you know, when Sue first went on the market around, was it like 2015? He's had that sort of impact, right? I feel like a lot of contenders would be like, right, if we can get him on our defensive line, that's really going to put us, you know, over the top. And yeah, I think as much as the Chiefs have talked up a good game about wanting to keep him, all of these contracts now, Mahomes, etc., it starts to catch up with you, doesn't it? I still think there's a chance maybe he could stay, but is it that with the tag for his position, like over 30 mil or something?
It's around 32.
Yeah.
They won't tag him because they tag Snead.
Oh, okay.
They can't. So you can't tag two. Because they've tagged Snead, they won't tag him.
So that's why they didn't
him.
Do it. Yeah, okay.
But I think he stays. I think he goes back.
Maybe just for the three-peat. That's the only thing I was going to say just then about is that, you know, if you're Andy Reid, you say, look, at least give it a go for, I mean, would a one-year deal be weird? Maybe they would say, we'll give you a one-year deal with plenty of incentives. You play to the level that you've played the last 2 years. You got a chance to three-peat. If it doesn't work out, there will be plenty of teams next season that would snap him up.
Yeah. It's just about moving the funds around, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Patrick, you want to bring back Chris? Just move some of that dough around again? Because that seems to be what happens every year with Patrick Jones.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's a Tom Brady special. They've all learned from him now. Start moving the money around.
Number two, Kirk Cousins. I think he's definitely gone myself. It looks like the Vikings are looking to possibly move up in the draft to try and get one of these quarterbacks, Adam. I mean, the big rumor is JJ McCarthy of Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, I mean, as a Packers fan, I wouldn't want anything more to happen. That would be lovely. By all means, take him. I mean, I don't know how much of the combine you guys saw, but JJ McCarthy was not fantastic. He's had also a limited amount of, to be honest, a limited amount of sort of like different things that he can do because he was at Michigan. So much of it was running the ball. He was kind of restricted into what he was able to do. You then kind of see him at the combine where obviously, you know, it's not game pressure and all that. It's different. But at the same time, he was missing throws. He was overthrowing guys. It wasn't great. He did some stuff that was really good and then some stuff that really wasn't. I'd want him sitting behind someone like Cousins. I think that would be ideal for him. So if they went full in with that, then that would be certainly fun to watch, I think. But Yeah, I would be surprised if Cousins goes back. It feels very much like they're going to go for a quarterback. And it feels like Cousins, there's a lot of rumours about the Falcons. Apparently, they're the ones that want him. If they can't get him, then they want Justin Fields. Apparently, is it his wife is from Atlanta or something? That's another one. So there's a lot of talk of that, and that there's been lots of rumours around him going there. I don't really know where else he would go, because the thing with Cousins is he's going to want to be in a situation where he can do something like quite quickly. And I feel like Atlanta are kind of in that situation where they could do something. They just don't have the quarterback at the moment. So kind of makes sense.
I know this is a bit wild and their cap is not good at the minute, but let's say they move some pieces around and tied it up. Do you think there's any chance the 49ers do? Because I saw something from Adam Schefter where the 49ers at one point were big into getting Kirk Cousins. I mean, is that a possibility?
I don't think so, but I do. There was a point where they were literally like infatuated with him, weren't they? And they wanted him. But I would be so harsh on Brock. But you can't have two off seasons.
Are you out on Brock? Is it all over?
We already had Tom Brady over his shoulder last year, didn't
they? That's it. He's
relevant now. He's not Mr. Irrelevant anymore. Come on. Poor guy.
We'll move on to Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle, 28. Formerly of the Dolphins, obviously. The Dolphins cap is terrible. They're not going to be able to bring him back. Is he going to be an asset for any team? I mean, he's definitely fun. He's an incredible personality. And like I said, he has the capability of playing both sides of the board as well. He's played fullback a fair few times.
He was one of their best guys, wasn't he, last year? I thought he did really, really well. I think there's going to be teams out there. Anyone who needs a guy on the line, I think there's going to be plenty of teams. I don't think there's any one particular team either, really. I mean, there's so many that are kind of like that would love to have a guy like that in there. I mean, like I say, you look at the cap space. I mean, you know, if I don't know, the Texans, Houston, would be good. Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals have so many holes and so much money. That would be another one. You've got to feel like he's going to want to go to somewhere that they're going to be able to compete, though. The Colts struggled on the defense. They were giving up so many points all the way through. That could be one. I mean, they've got near enough $50 million available to him. So, I mean, I think there's loads of teams he could go to.
We'll move on to Danielle Hunter, Sky player, who I think is incredibly underrated. Is sort of a guy that people skip on when talking about quality edge rushers in this league. 16.5 sacks last season. I think he'll return to the Vikings. I think they bring him back. If they don't bring back Kirk, I think they then use the money to facilitate bringing him back.
Yeah, he's so good. And I think he's one of the few edge guys who can play in a 3-4 or a 4-3 defense. I think he's shown that he's overcome some early career injury troubles. Did he get double-digit sacks again last year? I feel like he had another
16.5.
Yeah, he was so impressive. I mean, maybe he can add to the Packers. Already got a good pass rush. You can nick him from the Vikings, Adam. You can add another weapon on your pass rush. But no, I think he's... I'm quite surprised. I wonder where... When I looked at the... Is he in the top 10?
Who, sorry?
Yeah.
Hunter on the free
agent. Yeah, he's number 4 in this top 10, I suppose. But yeah, I remember reading he's at 37 mil in cap.
I remember someone... I feel like these defensive guys... I mean, Adam mentioned the Texans for everybody. Barkley, Wilkie, but you know... D'Amico Ryans being the former linebacker, I think he'll look at some of these top, you know, guys on defense, whether they play at the front or even the back end secondary wise, he'll be able to have a good analysis of that. They drafted well last year, and with that, you know, sort of 65-70 mil to spend, I wouldn't be surprised if any of these sort of top defensive guys do end up in Houston, because they're in a really good position to sort of make some waves in this offseason.
We are going to very much come back to that in a moment. I believe that'll be a good topic in a second. Tyron Smith, 33, offensive tackle for the Cowboys. Adam, on his day, is pretty elite, but very, very, very injury prone. Very injury prone. But looks like Sky is more than happy to take him on in New England.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk, hasn't there, about the Patriots going in for him. Again, he is 33, so he is kind of starting to get up there a little bit in age. But on the O-line, it's not, you know, there's still a few more years left that he's got. Yes, he is injury prone, which is the concern. But again, anyone who needs someone with experience on the O-line, the Patriots, to me, do make a lot of sense. They do need, like we said, they've got holes everywhere. The only issue with him is I do feel he will be expensive. That's the only thing. So it's more of a case of whether they want to make a big purchase on the O-line. I mean, if you've gone and drafted your new quarterback, then it's probably the way forward and the sort of person that you're going to need there. But yeah, I think he would be good at the Patriots.
We'll skip over six because it is Saquon Barkley. Number seven, again, I said we'd come back to the topic, is Jonathan Grenard, 27, edge rusher, formerly of the Houston Texans. See, I think they could maybe bring back Grenard. They don't go for Danielle Hunter then because they've got a really great tandem here, Will Anderson. And then they take Christian Wilkins. Yeah. They pay him. And then they get their guy that knows the scheme, is a great player, great tandem, Will Anderson. You're going to need to save money. I know Anderson is still new and you've got a while to be able to pay him. But you then put a load into Christian Wilkins, takes the pressure, gives Anderson a lot more freedom to roam on that line if they've got trouble down the middle. And what do we think to that? Because that could be, I mean, he got 12 and a half sacks last year.
Yeah, I thought he did well. There are three edge rushers coming out in the draft this year who look very, very good in Jared Verse, Dallas Turner, and Liatu Latu. And all three of them have kind of, because of the sort of quarterbacks, wide receivers going early, seem to be dropping down the board quite a bit. And one of them seems to constantly be turning up for the Texans because they, like you say, they could do with an edge rusher as well. You can never have too many. So it wouldn't surprise me if they went for one of them in the draft. It wouldn't surprise me if they did go and get, say, as you said, someone like Christian Wilkins as well. They have the money to kind of do all of it. They are going to be a very, very difficult team to get past next year because they have that money and the ability to do it. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, they're going to be very good. And so I do think edge and D-line is definitely where they're probably going to focus a lot of their money in.
We'll then go on to number eight and nine because they're both probably Patriots related. That's Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, 29 from the Jaguars, and then Mike Onwenu, the 26-year-old guard. You said that obviously Ridley very, very, very much rumoured to go to the Patriots, and Onwenu being a former Patriot, but I think they bring back Onwenu, and I wouldn't be shocked me if they went and got Ridley, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Onwenu needs to come back, and obviously if you then go and get Smith at left tackle, whoever the quarterback's going to be, you know, whether it's a veteran or you get a young guy, you need to shore that up. And the reason I touched upon earlier about the Marvin Harrison thing is because we know the Patriots historically haven't had many premier wide receivers, and I feel like Calvin Ridley, obviously he had his year out for his reasons. Hopefully he hasn't placed any any sort of speculative things on his next destination. But if so, could be the Patriots. And I think we need plenty of receivers. I mean, who was the one we were joking about? When I saw like Noah Brown, no disrespect, I'm like, come on, like we can't go down the same rabbit holes here. Whoever the quarterback's going to be, whether it's Drake May, Daniels, a Russell Wilson guy, you've got to spend your cap money on the receiver position. And I think Calvin Ridley settled in well to the Jags. I think a lot of people thought he wouldn't be up to speed. So he can make a big difference. And yeah, I haven't seen or when you linked with anyone else O-line wise, and consider we have such a big need there to shore that up. Yeah, I think Mayo will keep him.
And then lastly, we have Leonard Williams, 30-year-old defensive end from the Seattle Seahawks. It feels to me like, Adam, he's a guy that's looking at telling his career and thinking, well, I need to be making the playoffs. And if anything, I need to be getting to championship games, actually. So I'd be looking at a team that was definitely in and around the championship game, the championship hunt.
Yeah, it does feel a little bit like that. I mean, he might, maybe someone like the Texans, might be one that you could argue as a playoff team, it would be worth going for. The Lions have got a lot of space. They can always do. I mean, their front seven's pretty decent though, but you know, they could always do a bit more there. The Eagles have got quite a bit of money this year, so you know, they might go for someone like him just as a bit more to help the defense that struggled a bit last year. But yeah, there's a few different teams that you could argue could go for someone like them. And like you say, he's kind of moving towards the back end, isn't he, now of his career? So yeah,
I hope he gets a good team. He's been on what, the Jets, the Giants, and now the Seahawks. So guy deserves a break. Fingers crossed.
Well, there's plenty more that is going to be happening over the next coming weeks with us on the franchise tag and in the NFL as well, including Zach Ertz has signed for the Washington Commanders, pretty much is when we went live. That happened. Not that that's that interesting, anything, I suppose. But Sky, Adam, thank you very much for the pod this evening. We've got lots of free agency stuff going on for the next couple of weeks, and then we'll slide right into that NFL draft. Obviously, the Combine happened the other day. Go and check that out to see some of the stars of the future. That's a real good fun watch, and there's a lot of the highlights on YouTube as well. Thank you so much for watching this evening. We've had over 200 people with Arsenal tonight, which is really nice. Obviously, you must be a bit bored on a Wednesday night, but you know, hopefully you did enjoy it, I suppose. Until then, Sky, Adam, thank you very much, and we'll see you all again next week.